casket empty, and that is an acronym. The casket portion is an acronym for the Old Testament. The empty is an acronym for the New Testament. So this is, we're starting today part one of a new series, which is a two-part series, Old Testament and New Testament. The whole series is aimed at sort of giving you an understanding of the unified story of redemption that God begins at creation and then brings to completion at the very, or will bring to completion at the end of time. And so that's what the aim is. As we're going to start naturally with the Old Testament for a couple of reasons. First of all, we've last year spent an entire ministry year in the New Testament, and the Bible teaches us that in order for us to fully grow into mature believers, we need to know all of God's Word, and the Old Testament is the foundation of the New Testament, and the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And so we're going to spend some time now going back into the Old Testament, and our goal is over the next 18 weeks, we are going to go from Genesis to Malachi in 18 weeks. It's a high-level overview, so we're going to be taking big chunks of Scripture in order to move our way through the Bible. But my guess is that some of you, you may feel like you know the New Testament. I know about Jesus. I know all about Him. But I don't know the Old Testament. Most people find it difficult to relate to and get engaged with the Old Testament. It's just, it's hard to get your head around, don't understand what the purpose is. And so our purpose will be to show you the one single purpose of God through the course of all of Scripture, which is to reveal His redemptive plan, and Jesus is right in the middle of it. Jesus stands in the center of God's redemptive plan. So we have this unfolding progression and proclamation by the prophets of who God was going to send to redeem mankind and atone for sin. And then Jesus arrives on the scene and shows us He is the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies. So we need to know Him. And if you're going to be a mature and complete Christian, you need to know the complete story. So let me point you to one passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. We get a little hint of what the Apostle Paul understands about Old Testament Scripture. And so he says to young Timothy, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work." So go back with me into verse 15, and Paul says, "I want you to pay attention to the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ, faith in Christ Jesus." Sacred writings, what Paul is talking about as he mentions the sacred writings is what we in our Bibles have as the Old Testament. So do you think about the Old Testament as sacred writings or the most boring stuff on the planet? If you've ever read, how many of you have read the Old Testament? Just curious. Okay, that's a good chunk of you. That's amazing. How many of you enjoyed it? All right, that's great. See, you can't prove me. Yeah, I'm wrong. You know the Old Testament. You love it. That's fantastic. But how many of you experienced some difficulty in relating to everything that you read? It's challenging, right? There's understanding what God is doing in the Old Testament is very challenging. But Paul says these are the sacred writings that are able to make you wise for salvation. That's good news. Make you wise for salvation is excellent news. And so Paul thinks of this as holy writings which can helpfully equip you and make you wise for salvation. And not just any kind of salvation. He says this will make you wise for a salvation through faith in Jesus. That's what the Old Testament does. It makes you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, which is absolutely astonishing to me. Because he says all Scripture is profitable. in demonstrating to you, to equip you, to correct you, to instruct you, right? So this massive story that God is unfolding before you is helpful for you to be thoroughly equipped in all that God would have us know and be trained in, equipped for every good work. And so this faith in Jesus is seen in the Old Testament. Faith in the Messiah, that's why Paul says faith in Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ, like so many of us are used to hearing. We know Jesus Christ, and some of us think that's his last name, right? It's Jesus Christ, kind of like Todd Cravens, it's Jesus Christ. No, Christ is not his last name. Paul says Christ Jesus because it describes his job description more or less. It's like a title. He's the anointed one. He's the one whom God has anointed and empowered to be the fulfillment of that redemptive story. He stands at the center of God's redemptive plan. That one story throughout the entirety of Scripture is fulfilled in Jesus. He redeemed us. Jesus is the Redeemer. And so faith in him as the Messiah, Paul says that's what the Old Testament points to. That's the primary purpose of the Old Testament, is to point to faith in Jesus. And you might think, where in the world is faith in the Old Testament? Where do we see that? Where do we see Jesus in the Old Testament? But Paul looks back at the Old Testament and he sees Jesus at the center and the foundation of it. So through faith, we need to know where in the Old Testament faith is attested to and how to understand that the Messiah who was prophesied, that job description and role, was actually fulfilled in Jesus. That's the point. The Old Testament gives us tons of information about who the Messiah will be, and then when Jesus arrives, we have convincing information that Jesus of Nazareth is the one who fulfilled those Old Testament redemptive prophecies. And what is astonishing to me is Paul picks up on this from the earliest moments of his salvation. You remember the Saul was his first name. He was a Jew, a Pharisee. When he first heard about Jesus, he opposed Christians vehemently. He opposed Christ. He hated Jesus. He thought he was twisting the truth. He thought he was a false Messiah, and he persecuted people who were following Jesus. And yet, when he became convinced that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies pointing us to Messiah, he instantly began demonstrating to people from the Old Testament how Jesus fulfilled those prophecies. So Acts 9:22 says this, Saul increased. You remember he was saved on the road to Damascus. That's where he met Jesus. Paul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus. Look at this next word. By proving that Jesus was the Messiah. How on earth does the Apostle Paul prove that Jesus was the Messiah? He's a brand new Christian. He's just met Jesus. He just comes to faith. And suddenly, he's able to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. And then again, Acts 17, we see this. Paul went in as he's in Thessalonica, a city. He went in as was his custom. And on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ." What was Paul doing? When he's proving that Jesus was the Messiah, how was he doing that? Upon what information was he basing his arguments? It's the Old Testament. Paul deeply knew the Old Testament. He was a Pharisee. He was trained in the law of the Old Testament. He read it since he was a child. He heard it again and again, repeated in his mind as he went to synagogue and read the scrolls. And so as soon as he knows the facts about who Jesus is, he suddenly says, he's the Messiah, and he could prove it. Meaning he could point in Scripture to exact passages that Jesus' life fulfilled. Can you do that? If somebody asks you, why do you believe Jesus is the Messiah? What would you do? Would you just say, I have this funny feeling in my heart? Or could you go show somebody something in ancient writings that would demonstrate the truth? That's why we're doing this study. That, we want to get you grounded into the Old Testament so you can see how it is that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Because he reasoned and explained. He argued in a classical sense of from the scriptures that Jesus is the fulfillment. He's the Christ, is what Paul said. The Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one. So when Paul looked at the Old Testament, he saw Jesus. Which is incredible. How many of you do that? How many of you look at the Old Testament and you say, I see Jesus. I want you to. That we as elders want you to. We want to spend some time going through the Old Testament to get that in our brains. And strikingly, Jesus saw himself in the Old Testament as well. John 5:39 says this. Jesus is speaking to the Jews and he said, you search the scriptures. There's no New Testament, right? The scriptures means the Old Testament, what we have as our Old Testament, the 39 books of the Old Testament. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about me. That's an incredible statement, if it's not true. If the Old Testament scriptures don't point you and reveal Jesus, that's an incredibly arrogant thing to say. The Old Testaments talk about me, is what he's saying. But if it's true, don't you want to see them? Don't you want to say, Lord, help me open my eyes to see what is in the Old Testament so that I can be convinced that Jesus really is the Messiah? And if you're not yet convinced about this, I'm sure you're going to bump into some people who aren't yet. And this will help you begin to share your own understanding of why Jesus is the Messiah so that you'll be able to bear witness about him as well. Jesus, we some of us know this and some of us treasure this truth, but oh, how slow we are to believe it. Jesus met a couple of his disciples on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. And here's what we hear Luke record for us. Luke 24, verses 25 to 27. Jesus said to them, oh, foolish ones, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Prophets, the Old Testament, all that they've spoken is recorded in the Old Testament. He said, was it not necessary that the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and then enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. He helped them see him in the Old Testament. Jesus is there. If we have eyes to see, he is there in the Old Testament. He says, everything about me written in the prophets, everything about me written in the law of Moses. And strikingly, Jesus also says at another time, if you believed in Moses, you would believe me because Moses wrote about me. It's incredible to see Jesus revealed even from the very beginning pages of Scripture. Moses wrote the first five books. And so Jesus believed he was revealed through the Old Testament Scripture. And how many of you hear that and you think, I've spent a lot of time digging around the Old Testament. I didn't see Jesus anywhere. It's hard to see. And I want to invite you, if you're one of those people that struggle in reading the Scripture, I want to remind you that Jesus' disciples did too. If you know the story of Jesus' disciples, how many times you read through the New Testament and the story of their relationship with Jesus, and he says to them, don't you get it? Don't you believe it yet? Are you so slow to believe? Or don't you yet understand? And those are not intended to be words of rebuke, but words of calling, evoking you. There's something here you need to see. There's something sweet and powerful and good that you're missing, and you need to see it. And so Jesus said on the last night that he had before, with his disciples before he was crucified, he said to his disciples, I'm going to leave, and I know you guys are freaking out because I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you a helper. And the Holy Spirit, he will help you to understand, and he will reveal to you everything that I have given to you, and he will help you recall everything that I have said. So I see a promise from Jesus saying, I'm going to give you a helper to understand my word and understand the scripture. So let me read Luke 24, verses 44 and 45. Jesus said to them, He's talking to his disciples. These are my words that I spoke while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms is the Jewish way of saying everything in the Old Testament. Everything written about Messiah in the Old Testament must be fulfilled, and Jesus fulfilled it. And so he says, I'm going to open your mind. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Verse 45. I want to invite you, if you ever struggle with reading scripture, would you pray with me and earnestly mean it? Jesus, if you're in the Old Testament, I want to see you. And I need some help in doing it. And so we're about to embark on an 18-week journey of moving through the Old Testament. And I don't want to miss Jesus anywhere. I want to see him at every place I possibly can. At the end, I want to be like Paul and be able to stand up and say, I can show you exactly where Jesus is. But I know quite well I need help. And anybody else in the room like me? I want to invite you to pray with me right now. And if you're physically able and you earnestly mean it, I want to invite you, could you just mind turning and getting on your knees? And I'm going to pray this. If you don't have to, you don't want to, if you're uncomfortable kneeling, it's totally fine. But I want to invite you, in order for us to make our time useful and have the truth, the help of the Holy Spirit, we need help in doing what we're being invited to do. So I want to invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I see scripture here which tells us that you're revealed in the Old Testament and in convincing ways that Paul was able to clearly demonstrate to a people group who knew the Old Testament. And Lord Jesus, you said you would send your helper to help us. I feel incredibly in need of help. And Lord, I ask that you would be kind to us and merciful to us over these next 18 weeks, and that you would let us see the glory of Jesus through the Old Testament. I pray that you would grant faith to those who need it in this room or hearing my voice. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that by your Spirit, you would help us to have a hunger to know you more deeply through your word, particularly in the Old Testament. So give us the help that comes only from your Spirit in order to accomplish what we're asking. And we are depending upon you. And we ask it for the faith of your people and for the glory of your name. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can return to your seat. So, real quickly, let's go through the acronym of CASKET in the Old Testament. What is the Old Testament? The Old Testament is the 39 books. If you have a copy of your Bible, you can open up your table of contents and you can see there's 39 different books in the Old Testament. And if you have been one of those people who like to read through the Bible, you could potentially get confused because we mostly expect a table of contents to unfold chronologically. And the books of the Bible don't do that. They're not written in chronological order. At least they're not recorded in our Bible in chronological order. And so sometimes that can be very confusing. So in the next slide, everything that is in red are books that take place in the last 100 years. So Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi all unfold at the last 100 years before the end of the time period which is recorded in the New Testament. So if you're reading through the books as they're listed in the Bible, you'll bump into things that are out of order and out of sync. And then Job probably was a contemporary with the patriarchs. So if you ever read a chronological Bible reading plan, you'll probably read Genesis 1 through 11, and then you'll bump into Job, and you're like, what in the world is Job doing here? That's because that's probably the time that he lived. So Job is inserted, and then we have Psalms. The Psalms are a collection of Psalms which spans many periods of the history of Israel, from King David all the way up until the time period of the exile. So Psalms is a collection of many different types of literature from different time periods. And Proverbs, the same. It's not in chronological order. There's just a collection of sayings. Ecclesiastes also. So you bump into trouble if you're reading it and expecting it chronologically. So what we're going to do is try to work our way through the Old Testament chronologically. And out in the lobby is this little accordion-looking timeline that we've gotten one for. Hopefully everybody would be able to grab one of these. This will be our framework of what we're using so you can get your head around all of the events that are unfolding throughout the course of the New Testament. And CASKET is the framework that covers the Old Testament. It's an acronym. And so it reminds us that sin entered the world, and the wages of sin is death. And so CASKET is an apt symbol. But then the New Testament reminds us that Jesus has come and overcome the world and overcome death and risen victorious from the penalty of sin. And so the casket's empty. So that points to what Jesus has accomplished in the New Testament. But CASKET, so the C stands for creation. C stands for creation. This is symbolized by two trees that you see, which reminds us, it takes us back to the Garden of Eden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so that represents God's commands at the beginning to Adam and giving his commands for what he should and shouldn't do. The time period that this section will cover is Genesis 1 through 11. It'll focus on Adam and his son Seth, and then Noah and Shem will be the primary characters there. And this will take us through the major portion of the beginning of Scripture. Then the A in CASKET stands for Abraham. This is the period of the patriarchs. It's symbolized by a gift because Abraham was not a holy man when God called him. He was an idol worshiper. And because of God's grace, he called out Abraham as the first person to whom he began to work redemption by promising that one of his descendants, a person who would come from his line, would rise up as the descendant and the deliverer and the redeemer at some point in the future. So we'll look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob during this time period. And the books or the period, the scriptural literature that's covered at this point is Genesis 12 through 50, and then also Job is in there as well. This covers about 2100 BC to 1450 BC. So that's the A. The S stands for Sinai, which really is the birth of the nation of Israel. It's the period of Exodus out of Egypt and into the wilderness and at the Mount of Sinai where God gave the Ten Commandments. And so you see two little tablets, which will symbolize this period that represents the Ten Commandments. God gave them this covenant. This was the beginning of the birth of a nation and God unfolding his plan of redemption through the people group of the Hebrews. This covers Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, and spans from 1450 or so BC to about 1050 BC. The K stands for kings. This is a period of establishment of the nation. They moved into the promised land. They begin you'll see a little blue crown that symbolizes the period of the kings as Israel is established as a nation and they form kings. This covers a lot of books, a long period of time, but 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, some of the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Noah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. Some of these books overlap because they cover periods of kings, but also periods of exile. So if you're thinking, why is Daniel in there? Daniel covers both periods. So other books do that as well. This covers a time period from about 1050 BC to 586 BC. And then the E stands for exile. You'll see a little vulture in that is symbolized here, which reminds us that the curses of the covenant of God given at Sinai now come to fruition on the nation and they get exiled from their land. Because of their disobedience, they're removed from the promised land. This covers Ezekiel, Daniel, Obadiah, and some of the Psalms and spans from about 586 when the northern kingdom fell to about 539 BC. The T then stands for temple. This is a brief time period of reprieve towards the end of the nation when the captives and the exiles have been released, are able to go back into the promised land and rebuild the temple. So this is second temple period is what this is referred to as. It covers books like Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and also some of the Psalms. So if you're here this morning and you're thinking, I already know the Old Testament. I'm done. I've done this. I know this book inside and out. And this sounds really boring. I want to go home for the next 18 weeks. I plead with you, please don't. Because, Jesus is an infinite person. And there is always more of him to know. And it is my experience from reading through the Bible every year, I always come back to certain passages again and again and again, and I'm amazed how the truth just awakens my eyes. And that's there? I see things I've never seen before. Now, some of you, your favorite movie, you watched it like 75 times, and some of you still catch stuff in some of your movies. I didn't see that the first time. It's magnify that 100 times in reading through God's word. You will see wonders you've never seen before, and you will discover facets of who Jesus is based upon the Old Testament scripture, which he fulfills. So the only way I could think to illustrate this is, a week and a half ago, my wife and I got news that a very close friend passed away. This was an elder at the church that I previously served at. And the memorial service was yesterday, which it's 7 hours away into Pennsylvania. And I struggled with, should I go? But I love Jay Gaunt. Served with him 7 years as an elder. And he was one of the most godly men I know. And so we had to drive back for his funeral. And I sat with Jay Gaunt every Friday morning from 6 till about 7:30, reading the Bible together, praying for the church, memorizing scripture for about 6 years. We did that for about 6 years. I knew Jay Gaunt. And yet at his memorial service, I knew him as an elder. I knew him as a friend and as a brother. But he was also a dentist. And I visited his facility about once every couple years. I didn't know him as a dentist. And so at his memorial service, there were testimonies from his patients and his colleagues and coworkers. And one of the most astounding things I heard was a man stood up as a patient and told the story of a time of emergency when some dental work was needed very quickly. And Jay accommodated this guy who wasn't his patient at the time, took care of his needs, and got the pain taken care of and sent him on his way. And he said, later when I got the bill for the dental work, that didn't have the money to pay the bill. And so his practice would send me a statement every month reminding me that you have this outstanding debt and you need to pay your debt. And that kept going. And month after month, he got these reminders from the practice. And then finally he said, I think he said after a year or so, I don't remember the exact time frame, he said he got a handwritten note from Jay. And it said something like this. This is my memory, but this is the essence of what I remember. Dear sir, you have received many notices from us about your unpaid debt. However, to date, we have not received payment. I assume this means that you're having some difficult days, and so I'm sure otherwise you would pay your debt. I too once had a debt that I could not pay, and it was the debt of all of my sins. So Jesus paid the debt that I could not pay. And I want you to know that you are free from your debt, as Jesus paid the debt for my sins, and it was much greater than the amount of your debt. I wish that you too would know the forgiveness that comes from being set free from your debt of sins. So please know, you no longer owe me anything. I have forgiven your dental debt, and I pray that you will know the great joy that comes from having Jesus forgive the debt of your sins. I was astonished. That is totally in character with Jay Gaunt. And yet I knew him as a friend and a brother. I didn't know him as a businessman, but here's a guy who's willing to use his practice in order to preach the gospel. That opened up, that moved my heart. That caused me and my affections to be moved towards Jay. I think there's probably some of the Old Testament that if you dig into it, I think your heart will be moved towards Jesus. I think as we move through the Old Testament and dig into God's plan to send a Redeemer to this planet to pay for your sins, as you learn about the background, that backdrop that shaped the coming of Christ, how could we not be moved in our affections towards him? How could you not love Jesus more, knowing that God planned all of this from before creation, which is what we will see next week? That creation begins with an intention for God to send a Redeemer. So stick with us. I think your affections will be moved for the Lord. I invite you, commit to praying what we just prayed a few minutes ago. Keep praying that prayer. As we move forward, Lord, will you open my eyes to see wonders in your word? And for the next 18 weeks, make that a daily prayer. At least weekly, but make it a daily prayer. God, let me see wonders through your word. Let my heart be moved towards Christ as the Old Testament, which I think is stale and goofy, let me see Christ in it and awaken my heart to passionately follow him. Because if it's true that Jesus is the Messiah, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, we cannot stay the same. He is a Redeemer, and he is King of Kings. And by the time we get to the end of the book, there will be a great day when King Jesus will arrive. And he will come on a horse, conquering and to conquer. That's who this Bible is pointing to. That's who Jesus is. So I want to see your affections moved. I want to see you on a journey of falling more deeply in love with the Lord Jesus, who is our King. So let's pray together. Father, I ask that you would awaken within our hearts a love for you. And with Paul, may we see in the Old Testament that can scriptures, sacred writings that can make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. Let that dawn on every one of us. Let the truths that maybe lie hidden for the moment, let them be revealed to us over these next 18 weeks. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would deepen our love for you, you would grow our affections for you, that you would awaken a new love and a desire for your word. And God, let faith grow among us. Let trust in Jesus flourish. And I ask, Lord Jesus, by the help of your Holy Spirit, to make that happen, because I know you can do all things. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it is in your name we pray. Amen.